Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Today, we're going to talk about astrology, which, as many of you know, has been a professional interest of mine as the entrepreneur who provided all the horoscopes and astrology for AOL and Yahoo and my own flagship site, tarot.com, back in the day. Now, there are lots of different kinds of astrology, and it has a long history that spans many cultures with varying methodologies, philosophies, and applications. Is there a common thread? Could astrology be considered a science and not just a practice that's tied to specific communities and societies? Today's guest shares modern evidence that our neighbors in the solar system can profoundly affect and shape life on our planet. Our guest is Bruce Schofield, author of the book, The Nature of Astrology: History, Philosophy, and the Science of Self-Organized Systems. Bruce is also the father, the author of What Astrology Is and How to Use It. And he holds a doctorate in geosciences from the University of Massachusetts, a master's degree in social science from Montclair University, and a degree in history from Rutgers. Currently an instructor for Kepler College, he's a member of the National Council for Geocosmic Research and is currently president of the Professional Astrologers Alliance, an astrology certification board. His first book, The Timing of Events, Electional Astrology, was written in 1980. In total, he's the author of 14 books and now resides in Amherst, Massachusetts. Well, hello, Bruce, and welcome to the Pathway Show.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, let's start by asking, what's your sign?
Cancer. Sun
Cancer.
in Cancer. I got the moon in Aquarius and Leo rising.
Okay, well, that's kind of interesting because I'm a Gemini with a Leo rising and a moon in Cancer. So we've got some common elements going on here in a different mix.
Yeah, I got two planets in Gemini, Venus and Uranus.
There you go. Well, Venus and Gemini, that can be problematic for relationships, at least. I mean, it has been for me. It's sort of like fickle by nature, but that's interesting.
Or in my case, there are certain patterns, like having relationships with women that are librarians or teachers, or work with young kids. There's a certain pattern. I think when you stray too far from that, it gets more complicated. But you're right, Venus in Gemini, it's a more thoughtful Venus. There's more need for mental communication.
And I noticed that I heard you talk some one point about how you had a cluster of friends in college that were all, born around October 10th, that they were all Libra.
Right.
So that kind of fits in with what you just said about Gemini. And the whole mental connection thing.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so your book is, it's about astrology and science and basically the scientific aspect or nature of astrology, which is a little bit controversial. But let's start by what subjects have you studied that qualify you to make scientific claims about astrology?
Well, I was originally a science major when I went to Rutgers, switched to history. I was in geology, and I've always been interested in astronomy and geology, basically, since I was a little kid. And at UMass, I was recruited, basically. I had gotten a master's previously in social science, and that was very helpful to my astrology practice. Learned more about people and more about society. And I also focused a lot on history of science when I took that course those courses. But I was recruited by a microbiologist evolutionist, and she was working in the geosciences department, and so she required, in order for me to work for her and help her teach her class, I had to get a doctorate. So what I did was it was through geosciences, but I focused on climatology and weather, And I did my thesis on titled A History and Test of Planetary Weather Forecasting. And what I did was I had a translation of a book that Johannes Kepler wrote, in which there's a discussion between a doctor, an astrologer, and an astronomer. And they discuss astrology. And at one point, Kepler says, well, you know, if you want evidence for astrology, look at the weather and look at Sun-Saturn aspects. So what I did for my PhD thesis was exactly that. I looked at Sun-Saturn aspects and I was able to show that there was a correlation between Sun-Saturn oppositions from the perspective of the Earth. Astronomers would call that a Sun-Saturn syzygy, but it's basically there's Earth and then Sun. Earth is in the middle of the Sun and Saturn, so there's a straight line between Sun and Saturn, with Earth sandwiched in between, and that's the point at which Saturn is closest to Earth. And I found, using weather records, so there was actual data here, real data, that it got cold in certain parts of the world, not everywhere, but in certain parts of the world, it got cold. For example, the Northeast, it strongly responds to that, but so does Central Europe. I had a lot of data sets I got from, I used Prague, which is a long old one, Central England temperature, and then a lot of data sets in the United States. So, it was kind of a finding, I suppose, in some ways you could say, and I published a paper on it, a couple papers on it. It's gotten some attention, but it's very controversial. Even some of the people in my PhD department said, I don't know what this is about. You seem to be doing everything right, but I just can't understand how you can get that result.
Yeah, were you conflicted? I mean, you obviously came from an interest in science, and you got, educated in science and the scientific method, et cetera. Was there any kind of conflictedness about your newfound interest in astrology? I mean, within yourself?
No. I think right from day one, I've been kind of like a naturalist. I just study what's out there in nature. And when I discovered astrology, I looked at some of the books and did the calculations and tested it out and saw that it was working, that there was really something to it. So I think it has a lot to do with powers of observation. You know, I can go into the woods and I can hear a bird and I can tell you what it is usually, or I can, I sit out in my back deck every morning and look at the squirrels and the birds and I notice a lot of things. But what I've also noticed is a lot of other people don't notice very much. Except on their cell phones, maybe. But, observation is at the, the foundations of science. And I'm an observer. And when it comes to astrology, I saw things right away. And I have friends who with, a lot of education that just can't see it. Where's Waldo? Maybe for them, they can't find it.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about astrology. A lot of people assume that astrology means, or that the planets are basically determining things. Whereas I've always thought of it as more of like a reflective system where, there's this pattern in nature that can be read, similar to the way you can, do reflexology and access organs in different parts of the, there's these correspondences. But do I have it wrong? I mean, is there you describe astrology as a system science. I mean, is there a way that you see that that the planets are actually determining anything or influencing things? How does that work?
Well, let me back up and say one thing, and this is one of the key points I make in the book, is that astrology needs to be seen as a subject. And it's a subject that has a history, and I go into that quite a bit in the book. It's a subject that has theory, which is weak. It needs work. And the same with research. It needs work. but it also has a practice. And there's a lot of 99.9% of people in astrology are in it for the practice. And most of them aren't even aware that there's anything other than a practice when it comes to astrology.
And how would you just...
So when we're talking today, you got to understand that I'm really talking a lot more about theory and research than practice, although I made a living as a practitioner.
So what do you hope people will get out of your book?
Well, I think that if they look at it, and it's a long book, it's really, you know, a life's work. But you could take any chapter in that book alone and read it. And the book itself is divided into three sections. So you don't have to read the whole book, but I think if you read some of it, you'll certainly develop a more realistic data set for yourself when it comes to astrology. You'll be able to assess the subject more realistically and with more detail, because most people, they just don't have the mental tools. They weren't given them in their schooling to evaluate properly a subject like astrology, and in particular the practice, you know, which is relies on a kind of symbolic thinking, which we could talk about at some point, and I know you're very familiar with, because you're familiar with tarot. So it's a different kind of thinking, where you use images and symbols. Semiotics is there's a study of it, you know, that's what it's called. But you use symbols, and as if they were, you know, like whole paragraphs, and then you put them together. It's a different way of working with knowledge. That is not taught in schools, and so people don't understand astrology. If you can get people when they're younger, they might be able to grasp it better. But right. I know lots of adults that they'll just never get it. Now, you were saying about the effects of... you're basically raising the issue of free will and destiny and fatalism that's often associated with astrology. And the first thing I want to say is that we have very little free will when it comes down to it, because of what has been discovered by neuroscientists, you know, that our senses react to something and then it feeds it, you know, into the limbic system, and the brain makes a decision. And then later we become aware that this has happened and we think we're making a choice.
Right.
So just to get that out of the way, to say that people making a big fuss about fate and free will, look at neuroscience and then come back and then let's talk about it.
You know, when some people ask me about astrology and they go, do you really believe in this stuff? And they ask me the same thing about tarot cards or the I Ching. Do you really believe in this stuff? I've been asked that question so many times because I ran a business that propagated these things before I retired from that. And I would always say, hey, well, you know, you don't have to believe in anything. It doesn't require faith. Either it works for you or it doesn't, based on, you know, your receptivity and your ability to sort of take in wider patterns. And then I tell people, when astrology is based on astronomy, because it's a map of the sky, that round circle, the horoscope circle, that's a like a snapshot of the sky, a 360 degree snapshot, the moment you were born, from the place you were born. And so all the planets are there somewhere, even if you can't see them because it's daytime. So that's a mapping of a moment in time that reflects a quality of energy that is you coming into the world, that goes along with your first breath. So there's the synchronicity principle that applies to that. Do you think that's a fair, do you think I'm doing a good job of helping people understand? Because the mysterious part is, how did they ever figure out that Leo means this or Cancer means that? That's the mystical level, it seems to me.
Yeah, well, that's a fair description of it. The one thing is that astrology has not really stagnated. It's grown Yeah, well, maybe we could say it stagnated for a while. But, you know, there was a thing called the Dark Ages, but it didn't stagnate in the Arab lands. So I guess there's a continuous evolution. So it's a subject that continues to grow and be filled in. And I also want to back up and say something about belief. You know, you talked about that. You don't have to believe in astrology. In fact, I don't believe in very much at all. I think I believe in two things, really. I believe that I exist. And the other thing I believe is that it is possible to learn. It is possible to obtain knowledge in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I can't be sure of much. And science is, one of the reasons I like science is because it's a democratic kind of knowledge that everybody can participate in it. And if your ideas hold up after testing and experimenting and other people agree with it, then that becomes like a kind of a solid brick in a way. And then you gradually build this wall. But in the end, all scientific knowledge is provisional.
Oh, for sure.
It's subject to change, right?
Exactly.
So this is very disturbing to people who have authoritarian type minds. And
well,
it's very disturbing to something like a religion, because a religion gives you knowledge, but it's knowledge that's permanent. And they spend a lot of time trying to, you know, validate the old ideas. You know, I mean, we see that all the time, you know.
Right.
But,
well,
belief doesn't come into this with astrology. And I think you're what you're dealing with in astrology are multiple layers of causal and possibly acausal processes going on. But I think one of the ways that astrology is working is that it's an extension of our evolution in a temporal environment. And time, as we experience it, is generated by geophysical motions. Like we have the day, you know, there's like a rotation of the earth. And so the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and that's like a unit of time. And the earth orbits around the sun, and we get different, we have changes of the seasons. And, you know, the sun is at varying heights during the course of the year and rises in different places. So that's also a kind of timing mechanism. And it is known, you know, that almost all organisms are responding to this and have used this external rhythm generating geophysical, geoastronomical motion to run their cells, run their bodies. We hear circadian rhythms and lunar rhythms, and these are deeply embedded. So I'm suggesting that at least a part of astrology is an extension of that in ways that we're only just now beginning to map out. We're just beginning to map the brain.
So
there's a long way to go.
You know, would you say that your book, which is going to give people kind of a context for understanding astrology in a broader and more informed way, is going to help them appreciate and get more benefit from the practice of astrology? And how would you describe the practice of astrology?
Well, I would say that the book, The Nature of Astrology, the big book, is really more about wrapping your head around the implications of astrology as a subject and its history and its philosophy and what it leads to and how it relates to a branch of science that's generally called system science. And that would include things like cybernetics and chaos and complexity and fractals, all these things that exist in different subjects. They're not really grouped together very well. I have another book, recent book called What Astrology Is and How to Use It. Now that introduces people to astrology and gives them, you know, something to work with. And it's aimed at people who don't know anything about astrology. It's not really for astrologers per se, or maybe it's okay for beginning astrologers, but it's, a, I think, I'm aiming at people who are fairly well educated and want to know something about astrology that they can use in their life, that they can, you know, apply.
You know, I found it very interesting that you wrote a book on electional astrology. And I remember back in the day when Reagan was president and Nancy Reagan was recorded to be using astrology to plan events and schedule things. And that's the application of electional astrology, but you don't see that very much. And when I was running tarot.com and we had a big astrology section, I always wanted to see if we could, you know, have a feature or some kind of program that would do electional for people, help them plan things. So that kind of relates to this whole timing thing that you get into with Saturn and the various different impacts of the different planetary cycles. But how does electional astrology, is it workable? And did, you know, how can people benefit from that?
Yeah, I use electional astrology all the time. I did write a book on it about 1980 that Astrolabe published. It's been long out of print, called The Timing of Events. And I basically put down in that book, you know, what I knew at the time, and I had a little history of it and whatnot. But think of it this way, is that we live in a temporal environment. We live in a physical environment, right? I mean, you can walk into a wall, you can fall into a lake, you can jump off a cliff. But we live in a time environment. You know, you could be at night, you can be during the day. There are all sorts of rhythms. There's magnetic field variations going on, and we're moving through this. And our brains are very sensitive to a lot of this stuff. So in electional astrology, what has been done is that people have observed over centuries that if you initiate an action at a certain time, under a certain condition, say under Saturn, say the planet Saturn was rising, that 75 times out of 100, if you initiate an action when Saturn is rising, it gets delayed or you run into an obstacle. So that becomes kind of like a rule, you know, rule of thumb.
It's like
and then you find that if you elect to, you know, you do something when Mars is opposite Saturn, that you actually have accidental conditions or real problems. Or if you go with Jupiter rising and you take a trip and it turns out to be really good, you actually broaden your horizon. So this was developed, as all astrology was, by observers correlating their observations and coming up with some general rules to follow.
You talk in the book about astrometeorology, which is a method of weather forecasting that goes back to ancient times, and it reveals correlations between the solar system and Earth's weather. And this, you studied this during your PhD thesis. Yeah. About the impact of Saturn on terrestrial weather. Do you have any wisdom to share with us about what's going on now with the climate chaos situation, the global warming, et cetera? And is there any hope that Saturn's going to step in and solve the problem?
If Saturn steps in and solves the problem, it's going to be a lot of work. But, well, you know, we got to keep in mind that there are regular fluctuations in climate over long periods of time. You know, there are solar cycles and there are orbital cycles, and they have been going on for many, you know, for eons, ages. I mean, we have records of climate fluctuations going back 200 million years. I mean, that's pretty far back.
We haven't had anything like this spike in the last...
So what's going on now is that people are messing with it.
Yeah.
And the people are adding to the carbon dioxide, and it's a very low amount, but it's enough to heat, you know, to hold trap heat. And so there's an analog to global warming that back about 55 million years ago, called the Paleocene-Eocene thermal maximum. And the Earth got hot over probably estimates are like maybe 1,000 to 10,000 years. The global temperature went up 5 degrees. Well, we're moving like, you know, 50 times faster than that. That's right. The difference.
Yeah.
And so we've really added to it. But what I was going to say is that there's a background reality of how the climate should operate. And then there's the human, the anthropogenic contribution. And so you have to, when you're doing modern astrometeorology, you have to look at those two factors and make your evaluations.
Well, we've only got like another minute, and there's so many things we could talk about. Is there any last words that you'd like to share with the audience, what you hope readers might take away from your book, or anything that you might want to share with us in closing?
Well, I think that astrology is a very valuable subject. I think that the Western world, with its science and philosophy and whatnot, knows a great deal, but it's not playing with a full deck. But astrology holds a few crucial cards. And I think that if people would educate themselves a little bit about astrology, and I think my book, The Nature of Astrology, could help with that, it would give them some insights into how things, how astrology might be used and how people's lives may be improved. Mm-hmm. I think knowledge is not a bad thing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of yours with us, both in terms of the book that just came out, as well as all the books that you've written and being on our show today. I really appreciate it, Bruce. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I want you to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.onereed.com. That's O-N-E-R-E-E-D. Onereed.com is Bruce Schofield's website. And for those who may have tuned in to Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Bruce Schofield, author of The Nature of Astrology, History, Philosophy, and the Science of Self-Organized Systems. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific time. And even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Bruce Schofield and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.